Well, good morning. Thank you for logging in on this Lord's Day to our Sunday school message. Take your Bibles with me. Turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 is where we'll be. If you're listening to this and have the opportunity to come and join us at 10 o'clock today, we are having service inside this church building. I'm excited about that. I'm excited to have the people here, have you here. With us, if you can make it, I'd love to have you come and join us. Joshua chapter 1, there's a lot of exciting things happening today for which you will rejoice and be glad you were here. I get not everyone feels safe coming. If you don't, we'll also have a live stream for that. You can watch live stream or you can just watch recorded later or earlier, however you want to. All three of our services on Sunday will be recorded. I'm going to record them beforehand, all three of them, and then on Sunday I'll preach the morning message live again. It'll obviously be just a little bit different. We'll have our song service and all of that on Sunday morning. You can watch that on our live stream. Go to our Facebook page and you can see that there if you're interested in that. Also, if you'd like to join us and don't feel safe coming into the building, you can tune your radio to 1700 AM. And out in the parking lot of our church, and you can sit there and you can listen to that also. So there's a number of ways to listen this morning. I encourage you to keep your eyes on our webpage. There's prayer requests there. Continue to follow those. This coming Wednesday, I know this is my last Sunday today, but this coming Wednesday I pre-recorded the book of Nehemiah chapter 11 and 12, and next Wednesday I've recorded chapter number 13. Next Sunday, you'll have Brother Hoffman with you in the morning service. There will be no pre-recorded message on Sunday morning, so take note of that. There will be the live stream and the Sunday morning message. I'm not sure if they'll be able to put that on the internet later. I'm sure that they will. And so if you can't be here or don't want to come because of health reasons, you can watch that later. But Brother Jim Hoffman from up at Wildwood with Scandinavians for Christ and Bearing Precious Seed will be with us. The week after, Alan and Ellen Ives, another set of missionaries that we support with Concord and Harmony Ministry in Oshkosh, they will be with us the following Sunday. Again, at 10 o'clock here in the service. If you have any questions whatsoever about how we're trying to keep people safe here in the building, feel free to reach out to our church office or to any of our three deacons, and they'll be happy to answer any question. If you do plan on coming to those services, it's always helpful if you let us know, so that way we can plan. One of the things we've done to help keep you safe is to have seat assignments when you come to church. Everyone has their seat and their name on their pew for them. And so when you come, that's going to be there also. And so if we know you're coming, we can make sure you have a seat. We're limited to the number of people who can be in this building or inside the auditorium here. And so if we go over that number, we'll begin putting people out in the lobby. And if we continue to go over that number, we'll probably put people downstairs in the fellowship hall, obviously socially distanced and all that good stuff. And so I encourage you to make plans. If you have questions, again, or concerns, please let the deacons know. Joshua chapter 1, follow along with me, one of my favorite passages in all the Bible. I've used this a number of times in this building as well as other places because of what it is we read here in Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to read down through verse number 9. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 through 9. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates. And all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. And Lord, you have used this over and over in my life. Lord, I pray this morning, as your people listen to this message, Lord, I pray that you would use it in their life. Lord, for me, this is a difficult Sunday, but an exciting Sunday. Lord, as I preach for the last time in this pulpit, before I head off to the ministry you've called me, Lord, I'm excited about that ministry. But Lord, it's hard to leave this one. Lord, as I look at this church and the people of this church, my desire for them is that they be strong and courageous through this time of change. It's difficult. It's hard. But Lord, help them be strong and courageous. Lord, I pray now that the words that you allow me to speak, Lord, may they come from you, and Lord, may they encourage and strengthen your people in this place to do the work that you have called them to do. Well, thank you for it. In your name I pray, amen. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, verse number one. Verse number two, Moses, my servant, is dead. The book of Joshua begins with these two phrases that will probably catch our attention this morning more than it would have a few months ago. The first five words of Joshua are after the death of Moses. And the first words God speaks in this book are, Moses, my servant, is dead. These two phrases catch our attention this morning because today, me and my family and I, say goodbye to you, our church family, after 15 years. After the service today, my tenure as your pastor is over. Now, I know that we're not dying. But when the Bible speaks of death, it speaks of separation. There is going to be a separation. Tomorrow morning, my father, and I'm thankful for him, and my nephew and Abby and I, we're going to take off for Arizona. And like I said before, I'm excited about the opportunity that God has opened for me to minister there. It's going to be a change. And it's going to be different. So maybe this book could start this way, this morning. Now, after the departure of the Gordons, verse 2, the Gordons have left. They have been led by Moses, the children of Israel, for 80 years. We've been here for 15. Moses was the leader who led the people of God out of Egypt. Exodus chapter 7 through chapter 13. In chapter number 14, Moses had been there when he parted the Red Seas. Moses was there for the provision of manna. Chapter 16. Moses had prayed for them to be spared from the wrath of God. Chapter 32. Moses brought the law of God, Exodus chapter 34. Moses was the leader through all of that, and the people were used to him. The people respected him for the most part. The people followed his lead for the most part. There were hiccups along the way, undoubtedly. Moses wasn't a perfect leader, and the people weren't perfect. The book of Joshua begins with these significant phrases, and we ask ourselves, what did they mean exactly for the children of Israel? Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, what does it mean for the children of Israel? First of all, it meant that in Joshua chapter 1, the people of God were now going to undergo a time of change. There's going to be some stress involved in this process. There was going to be sorrow involved in this process. They were undergoing change because their leader for more than two generations was now gone. And there's going to be somebody else different standing in that place. Things would be different with this new leader. Life would be different. Decisions may not be made in the same way. They're going to undergo stress because change is difficult. Specifically for the people of God, they were going to go into a land that they had not been in before, and they were going to settle it. They were enduring sorrow because they'd lost a man that was near and dear to their hearts. Grief is normal when we say goodbye to someone who is important. I'll be honest, my wife and I and our kids have shed a lot of tears over having to say goodbye to so many people who have loved us so well and so much, who has meant so much to us, who has been involved in our life, who has become family to us. After the death of Moses, Moses, my servant, is dead. Joshua chapter 1 shares with us that Moses died and the leadership of the people of God fell on the one who had assisted Moses for many years, Joshua. Joshua is first mentioned in Exodus chapter 17, right after Moses strikes a rock and water flows from it for the people to drink. Even though he is first mentioned in chapter 17, the book of Numbers chapter 11, verse number 28, tells us that Joshua had been Moses' aide for many years since his youth. He was a constant companion of Moses. Right after the water from the rock incident, Joshua leads an army of Israel at Moses' direction and defeats the Amalekites. Exodus chapter 17. The Bible says this, starting in verse number 10. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hands that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hands, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. They took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomforted Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Joshua was Moses' aide, who accompanied him to the mountain of God to receive the law of God in Exodus chapter 24. It must have been quite a span of 40 days and 40 nights. Joshua was there when the people crafted the golden calf and turned away from God, chapter 32. Joshua was among the 12 spies who went into the promised land to spy it out in chapter 13 and 14, and he is one of two to remain in or return in faith, saying they should go in and take the land because God was with them. It is this man who had been the faithful companion of Moses and who had experienced many of the miracles God did on behalf of Moses and his people, that becomes the next leader of the children of Israel. Joshua chapter 1 sees Joshua taking on the mantle of leadership amidst the change, amidst the stress, and amidst the sorrow. God has some specific words for Joshua, and he's taking on this new role. One day, and I don't know when, and I don't know who, there'll be another man who will stand behind this pulpit. You and I, for the last 15 years, have labored together. We've fought a lot of battles together. We've grown closer together. We've seen God do the miraculous together. We've seen the way God has worked and God has blessed and God has provided together. We've seen lives transformed. We've seen marriages saved. We've seen children born. We've seen children lost. We've watched young people graduate and go off to college. We've said goodbye to some very dear people. We've been through a lot. And God has called my wife and I and our kids to go, to leave. Because He's got something better in store for you. He's got someone else who's going to stand behind this pulpit. Someone who's going to look different than I. Someone who's going to talk different than I. Someone who's going to preach different than I. Someone who's going to lead different than I. Someone who is different than I. Moses and Joshua are two different people. And Joshua now has to lead the people through change and stress and sorrow. So God gives them some specific words in verse number 2 through 9, the passage we read to this morning for our scripture reading. It occurs to me, as you think about that passage, I'm not going to take time to reread it this morning. I encourage you to do so if you don't remember what we just read, but for most of us it's very familiar. It occurs to me the same issue that Joshua and the children of Israel faced, we also face. We face change in our lives. Not a change that we want. We face stress. We face sorrow. One of the most important principles, I believe, of the Bible is that God's Word does not change. And His Word to Joshua amidst this change and stress and sorrow is the same Word I believe He gives to us this morning. The same words I want to challenge and encourage you with today in this Sunday school, my last Sunday school with you. There are two key words. In the first 9 verses of Joshua, God commands Joshua to be strong and courageous 3 different times. The first word God tells Joshua is to be strong. It comes from a Hebrew word which means to strengthen, to harden, to prevail, to grow firm and resolute. It seems to be a strong action word that indicates physical action, like physical strength of the arms and hands and legs. When I think of strong, I think of habits or actions that lead to a positive result. The second word God uses and tells Joshua to be is to be courageous. It comes from a Hebrew word which means to be alert, to be brave, to feel strong in one's heart, to be bold. It seems to be a word that speaks of strength, not on the outside like strong, but rather of strength of character and having security with oneself. When I think of courageous, I think of an internal attitude and thought that leads to a positive result. So what does any of that mean? Remember the same issue that Joshua and the children of Israel faced, we often face. And right now, many of us are facing that. We face change in our lives, not a change that we may want. We face stress in our life right now. What's the next pastor going to look like? Will I like him? Will he have more hair than Pastor Gordon does? Will he preach louder? Will he preach softer? Will he preach longer? Will he preach shorter, please? Will he preach more out of the New Testament? What's that going to look like? We face sorrow. We've bonded over the last 15 years. The battles that we have fought have brought us together. And now we're leaving and there's going to be sorrow. We face these times in our life and God is commanding us in all of these circumstances to be strong in our actions and deeds and to be bold and brave internally. Be strong and courageous. Let's look at 3 words and we'll use the 2 words in relation to them. First is change. Kind of the topic of the day. change is constant in our life and something most of us dislike. Change comes in our health as we get older, and our joints hurt, our bones break. We can't always do what we used to do. Change comes when our parents move in with us or our grandchildren move in with us. Change comes if we move stages in life from junior high to senior high, maybe to college, or maybe we're heading towards retirement. Change comes if we move jobs or even if our job stays the same, but bosses above us change. Change comes when our paycheck changes. We may not have the lifestyle to which we're accustomed. Change comes in many forms and many fashions. Change. As I think back in my life, I think the biggest time of change I ever had was when I got married. I was talking to a young couple just recently, and they said some very, very wise words that somebody told to them in reference to marriage. They said, when it comes to marriage, there's not a whole lot of preparation for it. You can talk about a lot of things, and we talked a lot about communication and how to communicate, because you can't really teach someone how to be married unless they're married. There's no prerequisite to learning how to be married unless you're married. Having a roommate doesn't cut it. When I got married, we got married in Home, PA, and did a little honeymoon on the way to Michigan. And there at my church in Michigan, we redid our vows and went on a honeymoon. Then we traveled down and moved down to Florida, where I finished up my schooling down there, and my wife finished up hers. And I'll tell you what, marriage is an amazing thing, and I'm so thankful for the wife God has blessed me with. I think many of you will be missing her probably far greater than you will ever miss me because of how amazing she is. But I'll tell you what, as a new married man, there was a lot of change. Man, was there a lot of change. I went from living in Michigan to now living in Florida, from living on campus to now living in a single wide trailer. I went from having somewhat of a leisurely schedule of a college student to having to work multiple jobs and having my wife work multiple jobs just so we could pay the bills and get by. Here's a little secret, probably not a secret to anybody who's married. When I first got married, I had a tough time sleeping. You see, when I grew up, I had two brothers, and for us, we didn't share beds. I know girls are different than that. My wife grew up with three sisters, and it wasn't uncommon for multiple girls to sleep in the same bed. That's just normal. That's natural. With guys, it's a little different. I never had to share a bed with anybody. And so when we first got married, we would go to bed, and it was time to go to sleep, and I start going to sleep, and my wife would roll over, and she'd put her arm on my hand, or she'd put her elbow right up against my back. And I'll tell you what, that was hard. I couldn't sleep. She was touching me. I felt uncomfortable. Yeah, have you ever felt that thing like, oh, there's something in my back? And it could just have been a finger there, but something in my back, and I can't move, and you get claustrophobic, and all of a sudden you go crazy. It was until I finally told her, listen, honey, you can't. I just need to sleep, and when I go to sleep, I just want to sleep, because for the first several weeks, maybe months, my head would end up on the nightstand next to me, and half my body would be off the bed because I was trying to get away when she was trying to get closer. She just wanted to touch when she fell asleep, to know that I was still there, and me, I just wanted to be free. I just wanted to sleep, and I didn't want that pressure up against me. I wasn't used to it. It was hard to sleep. I'll tell you what. It was a change. Anybody who's been married understands that. Let me ask you, what are we supposed to do amidst the changes in life? How are we to react? It's going to be a change for my wife and I. We're going to go to Arizona. The only time we've been in warmth is when we were in Florida, and that was never during the summer. There it's warm all the time. They get about 9 inches of rain a year. We go from a beautiful parsonage and a beautiful church like this where we see deer walk through our yard. There's a little fawn that's here somewhere. We see the mom all the time, and every once in a while we get to see the fawn. I have turkey gobblers walking around down here to a city of 500,000 people. You're going from a pastor who's been here for 15 years. You know what to expect. To no pastor. To a new pastor. How do you react? What strong actions can we take during change? What courageous attitude should we have during change? Overall, I think when change really just rocks our world, we should want to stay rooted and anchored into something or someone that never does change. Overall, I think when we change, and so much around us change, we desire and long for that which doesn't. God doesn't change. I'm so thankful to tell you this morning, we serve a God who changes not. James 1:17 reminds us, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Psalms 18 verse 2 says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. How should we act with change? Be strong. Strong habits. Strong habits of getting in God's Word and reading God's Word to aid us in maintaining our faith, to keep our focus on what we ought to keep our attention on what we ought to keep our priorities where they ought to. Strong habits of reading God's Word. We need to develop strong habits of prayer so that we stay connected to a God as we move daily through change. Strong church attendance. To remain connected with brothers and sisters in Christ who will come alongside us and help hold up our hands, who will help encourage us, who we can help encourage, who we can be a blessing to, who can be a blessing to us. We need to be strong in the midst of change. We need to be courageous. Outwardly, reading the Word of God, prayer, getting together with God's people inwardly. Courageous. Seek after a bold attitude that even though things are changing, God is still in control. I tell you what, we need to bring every thought into captivity. Sometimes we think we're out of control and God has just kind of left things go, and we tend to get really anxious and nervous and want to run and want to hide and want to just get away. But we need to remember that we serve a God who is in absolute control. This has not taken Him by surprise. We need to seek after an attitude that even if you don't like what is going on, blessing will come from it. Why? Because we know who is God. Ask for eyes of faith to see what God is doing and where He wants you to speak and where He wants you to help. In the midst of change, be strong and courageous. In the midst of, number two this morning, stress, be strong and courageous. Stress is a strange part of life. Stress comes from various sources and different things stress us out at different times in our lives. What stresses one person may not even phase another person or cause them any issue. Stress is our bodies and our minds reacting to demands or threats. According to the National Institute of Mental Health, there are at least three kinds of stress which carry physical and mental health risk. There's the routine stress related to the pressure of work and family and other daily responsibilities. There is the stress brought about by a sudden negative change, such as losing that job, divorce, or illness. And then there's traumatic stress. This stress is experienced in an event like a major accident, war, assault, natural disaster, where one may be seriously hurt or in danger or killed. The body responds to each type of stress in similar ways. Different people may feel it in different ways. For example, some people experience mainly digestive symptoms, while others may have headaches, sleeplessness, depressed mood, anger, irritability. People under chronic stress are prone to more frequent and severe viral infections, such as colds or common or flu, and vaccines such as the flu shot are less effective. Stress is serious business for our minds, for our emotions, for our spirits, and for our bodies. As I thought about, and as I've been experiencing recently, a lot about what gives me stress, probably because I've been under a lot of it. Some of these things really stress me out. How about this one? Unmet expectations. Things that I had prayed that I'd be able to finish. I like this model, this remodeling. I wanted to see the finished product. Unrealistic expectations stress me. Having a plan and not following it stresses me. Looming things to do that I just can't get accomplished. Doing my absolute best and not being enough. People acting foolishly or deceptively, making my life harder. What are we supposed to do amidst the stress in life? How do we react? What strong action can we take during stress? What courageous attitude should we have during times of stress? Overall, we need to understand that when stress occurs, the best thing we can do is remain connected with God because He is our peace. Psalm chapter 4, verse 8, the Bible says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Psalm 29, verse 11 says, the Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. And in my mind, peace is the opposite of stress. So how is it that we can be strong and courageous in times of stress? How do we be strong, first of all? First of all, strong habits of rest. God commanded that we are to work 6 days, but there's to be a day of rest, Sabbath. And when we observe that, and when we don't keep pushing work and sports and things onto the Sabbath, God wants us, God knows that we need a day of rest. There's a lot of things that I may not agree with devout Jews on, but one thing that they have is they have a day of rest. You can't do work on the Sabbath for them. I think they take it to an extreme, but I think we go on the other end of that. Let me ask you, your Sunday, is it a day of rest? Having a Sabbath will aid in combating stress because it aligns with how God has made us. A strong habit of rest, a strong habit of exercise can help, which will physically combat stress. My younger brother, I praise the Lord for him, is a tremendous encouragement to my heart, an example, a godly man, a godly husband. He's in charge of a business, and he's running it. He's the one in charge of this little business, huge business inside of a gigantic business. One of the things he's been doing every day is he runs. He's a guy who has a ton of stress, especially right now, because it deals with a lot of the hospitals and stuff. And most hospitals are shutting down because there's not enough patients in them. Hospitals are on the verge of going bankrupt because there's no elective surgery. And so, yeah, it's hard when they're laying nurses off and they're laying doctors off because they don't need them because of COVID. And they're not making money because most hospitals make money on non-essential or elective surgeries. And so it's hard for the doctors, it's hard for the nurses, it's hard for the hospitals, but for those who supply those materials, it's hard for them. They're not selling stuff. There's a lot of stress involved in that. There's a lot of stress in leading a large company. There's a lot of stress. And one of the things that my brother has done, and he's not a person who seems, at least on the outward, to show it anyway, a lot of stress. He runs 3, 4, 5 miles. I don't know where he... I'm not a big runner. That's fine. But exercise. Exercise outwardly. What can we do to deal with stress? Can I encourage you to roll up your sleeves and get to work? There's a lot to be done here. There'll be weeds that need to be pulled. Branches that need to be cut. There's a burn pile that needs to be burned. There's trim downstairs that needs to be put up. There's still some walls to paint down there. There's things to organize. There's things to do. There's always something to do. Get involved. Roll up your sleeves and get to work. If you're stressed out about what's going on here, roll up your sleeves and get to work. Be strong. Be courageous. Celebrate with God at the end of a day how we've seen Him work in our lives. So often we fail to do this. We get up in the morning and we may have our time with the Lord and we go through the day and things don't go according to plan and man, there's a lot of stress. And we fall into bed and we go to sleep and we wonder why we have trouble getting up the next day, as opposed to looking back on your day and seeing how God has blessed, rehearsing, counting your blessings day by day. Let me ask you, how has God been working in your life? I'll tell you what, it's exciting. Celebrate in a prayerful attitude, knowing your heart that God is with you wherever you go. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and very courageous during times of stress. God's got a plan, and He's in control. Number three, our last word is that of sorrow. Sorrow. Agony, anguish, hardship, heartache, melancholy, misery, mourning, pain, regret, remorse, sadness. They're all synonyms of the word sorrow. We find sorrow in the Bible in several places. Jesus and the disciples dealt with sorrow before He went to the cross. Remember in Mark chapter 14, verse 33 and verse 34, the Bible says this, "And He taketh with Him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And He saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch." In Luke chapter 22, verse 44 and 45, the Bible says this, "And being in agony, He prayed more earnestly, and His sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when He rose up from prayer and was come to His disciples, He found them sleeping for sorrow." Sorrow, like change and stress, is a normal part of life. I know sorrow is a normal part of life because it has so many synonyms. Something that is not all that important would not have so many descriptive words to it. In addition, I know that sorrow is a normal part of life because the stages of life that sorrow touches has names. We only name things that are important. When we lose our home to a fire or a flood, we call that being destitute or homeless. When we lose our money, it's called being poor. When we lose our job, we call that being laid off. When we wreck our car and it's totaled, we call that riding your bike. When we lose a boyfriend or a girl, come on, that was funny. Okay. When we lose a boyfriend or a girlfriend, we call that being brokenhearted. When we lose our parents to death, we call that being an orphan. When we lose our spouse to death, we call that being a widower or widower. When we lose a child in death, it's so painful, there's no word for that in any language. What we're supposed to do amidst the sorrow in life, how do you react? What strong action can we take during sorrow? What courageous attitude should we have during sorrow? Overall, we need to understand, overall, we need to understand that when sorrow occurs, our God's presence is right next to us. When our hearts are broken, we have a God who sees our brokenness and desires to help, to set up on high those that below, that those which mourn may be exalted to safely. The Bible says the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, save as such as be of a contrite spirit. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. We need to be strong. In the midst of sorrow, we need to be strong. We need to demonstrate faith by continuing to read the Word of God and pray. And I'm here to tell you, even when you don't feel like it, even when it feels that your prayers are only getting to the ceiling, don't quit. Demonstrate your faith. Number two, untangle yourself from the ties that bind us to the person you've lost. Sometimes we remain in sorrow because we have a tough time letting go. You know our story and you know the loss that my family has occurred. It wasn't until I fully comprehended, and I don't think I've ever fully comprehended, that we serve a God who is acquainted with our griefs. God relates to us. As we lost a child, know this, God knows because so did He. When our paradise is defiled, tell you what, God knows all about that. Reinvest yourself in new relationships, new friendships, new goals. In the midst of sorrow, and as we're leaving, there'll be some tears shed. I know on my family, I've seen some of the tears shed on your behalf, and you don't want us to go, and I appreciate the kind words and the heartfelt thoughts and all of that, and it's going to be a difficult process. But can I encourage you to do this? And we've tried to encourage everyone we've talked to do this. Begin to pray for your next pastor. Begin to pray for your next pastor. Reinvest yourself in a new relationship. There are going to be people in this church who are going to need you, and they're going to need your encouragement and need your strength. Reinvest yourself. Reinvest yourself in a pastor who comes. As you have gotten involved in our life and have learned to trust us and have learned to share your hearts with us, as we've shared our hearts with you and our lives have intertwined together, and it's been a wonderful thing for the last 15 years. I've told you and over again, I pray that the Lord would never take me from here, but God has in His wisdom. And it's my job simply to follow. And so what I'm going to do and what I'm going to try to do when I get to the next place that God has for me is I'm going to try to reinvest myself in a new relationship. I've got to meet new friends. I've got goals that I've got to revisit. And as a church, you need to do the same thing. We need to be strong. And number two, we need to be very courageous. Ask through prayer that God would send light into your life and dwell on it. Can I encourage you to fight against irrational attitudes which harm and drag us down? Have an open conversation with God. And I'm here to tell you, you're okay to tell God what's going on in your heart and life. God is big enough, He can hear it and He understands. I've argued with him a number of times. I've told him what I thought a number of times. I've had arguments with God. I've wrestled with God, and I'm thankful that God always wins. Have open conversations with God about feelings and blame hardships, and don't shrink back. Be strong and very courageous. As we think about Joshua chapter 1, the people of God were undergoing a time of change, a time of stress, and a time of sorrow. We've discussed how when we go through the same things, that God's word to them is the same as it is to us. I've offered some suggestions how to be strong and courageous in the midst of the change and stress and sorrow. I want to also to remind you the words of God that he spoke to Joshua. Not just the words strong and courageous, but all the other words he shared in Joshua chapter 1. Remember how the beginning of the chapter there were two phrases? After the death of Moses, my servant is dead. But there are other words there if you get past that. When you get past hearing the death of Moses and Moses, my servant is dead, God says in verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. Verse number 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Verse number 9, the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. But in order to claim those promises, is you got to get past verse number 1 and 2. If you remember nothing else about undergoing times of change and stress and sorrow, understand that being strong and courageous means we walk with God and He walks with us every step of the way. Make sure your actions are strong to keep us with God. Make sure your attitudes of your heart keep us close to God. If we do that, if you will do that, if I will do that, we can make it through any change. We can experience and make it through any sorrow and any grief. Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, help us, I pray. Lord, today's a hard day. It's a hard day for me. It's a hard day for my family. Lord, it's a hard day for our extended family here in this building. We got to say goodbye to a lot of people whom we love so much, who have meant so much. Lord, I don't like change. But Lord, I want to do what you have called us to do. And Lord, I know you've got so much better for this church and for these people. But we've got to make it through verse 1 and 2. So, Lord, I pray that you'd help us right now to be strong and courageous, knowing that you are with us. It's in your name I pray. Amen.